training all the winter, and there's not a team that's fitter, and that's the way it's gotta be. 'Cause you're up against the best, you know, this is super test, you know, and you've gotta beat the best the world has seen. Lily's pounding down like a machine, Pascal's making divots in the green, Marsh is taking wickets, Hooks is clearing pickets, and the Chapel's eyes have got that killer gleam. Mr. Walker's playing havoc with the bats.
All right, that's a little sample from World Series cricket. Not sure what year that was. Don't know which sides were coming out to play. But, Chris Barrett, there's been a little bit of nostalgia in the studio today. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys.
I think that's, well, certainly from my perspective, that's one of the reasons you fall in love with the game of cricket. That World Series cricket advertising campaign, late 70s, early 80s. What about yourself?
Yeah, slightly before my time in terms of watching cricket, Jimmy, but I love all that nostalgia and all those stories as well. I remember actually sitting next to Ian Chappell and being fortunate enough to do that at a Channel 9 function not too long ago, now that the Herald's in the Nine staple and all that, and just mining him for stories about that era. It's just fascinating stuff. A simpler time, wasn't it, without all these... There's T20 leagues and everything else that's happened in cricket. But yeah, can't go back to it. And there's plenty of good cricket on in this day and age coming up as well.
All right. So you believe that this series against Pakistan will be more than competitive, Chris?
Yeah, I reckon they'll be. I mean, I think, as you guys were saying, Australia will be favourites in home conditions. But I think they'll be better than they were in the T20 series. It's not saying a ton, but... If last night's any indication, that wasn't exactly a pop gun attack that the Australia A side has over there in Perth. And Babar Azam and Asad Shafiq have both come up with unbeaten hundreds. Babar is obviously going to be the linchpin of their batting lineup. They're very much a team in transition, or at least a regenerating team under a new coach. So he's going to be very important to them, and they're pretty good signs on the first day, I suppose, of their longer form campaign.
Do you reckon Cricket Australia would have some alarm bells going, Chris, in regards to this summer and maybe attendance and viewership? Because it's been sort of, we saw that the poor attendance of the T20s. We've seen people blowing up on our text lines that they couldn't watch those games and that they don't know where to watch the games on free-to-air television. I mean, what's your thoughts? You're sort of in the bubble.
Yeah, look, I think they are disappointed about the crowds, firstly. They're underwhelming. It tends sometimes a problem in the early part of the summer, and, you've got to put something there, but those attendances were... well down on what they forecast, and Kevin Roberts, their CEO, admitted as such. He said it's not what he'd call a crisis, but said it was definitely disappointing. On the television situation, look, I just think it goes to show that was a questionable decision to get the extra money that they did by supplying exclusive content to Fox for Australian international games, rather than having those matches that the national team are playing all on free-to-air TV, as it's traditionally been the case. It was a commercial decision.
Mm.
And in many ways, it's bit them, not in a money sense, because they still got the cash, but it's bit them certainly in a public relations sense. I think people, in many places are dissatisfied about the fact that they have to go behind a paywall to watch the national side.
Mm. Chris, we started with a fair bit of nostalgia this chat. Now let's go to something that's a very modern day issue. We spoke with Steve Johnson, who's from the Institute of Wellness. He's the CEO there. You wrote today about some of the big issues facing Australia's game. One of them is mental health issues and how it's perceived at the selection table. What was your take on what Ben Oliver had to say?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting development, Jimmy. It's clearly an issue that's on their plate right now. I mean, not only have they, Nick Maddison and Glenn Maxwell take breaks for mental health reasons. They've had Moses Enriquez in the past 18 months. Will Pekowski. There's examples in the women's game as well. I think it's delicate and complex to use it to consider mental health at the selection table, which is what they're going to be doing. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is have a player fearful of coming forward and saying, look, I've got an issue.
Well, it's discrimination.
Because he's worried about having a line put through.
Yeah, it's discrimination,
Chris. I don't think it's going to be that cut and dry. I just think it's going to be a realisation that these things need to be taken into account and not to thrust the guy into a situation that he may not be ready for.
Yeah, with some of these cricketers like Glenn Maxwell, Maddison, and I know Maddison had a previous issue with mental illness, but have you been surprised with the amount of cricketers of late that have suffered mental illness, or have there been whispers for a while that some players have been struggling?
I haven't been particularly surprised, Laurie. I mean, I think it happens in all walks of life, and I know. Look, I hadn't heard particular things about in these particular examples. Although Nick Benson, has had a break before. I suppose these ones apparently they're very different situations as they tend to be. One area, and I don't suggest necessarily that this is a reason for these guys taking a break, but one area that's certainly brought up is their workloads and schedules, isn't it? In a growing cricket world. So, and I think Cricket Australia, something they've got to keep an eye on, because they give their players a 6-week window for basically what they call annual leave, and that happens during April and May, which is actually the Indian Premier League period. But you've got all your players from the top players from here who go and play there. So, as I say, I don't say that that's an issue in these cases. I don't know, but I think that's one particular thing that's been going on, that players possibly in some situations are just playing too much, not giving themselves a break, and there's a potential burnout factor there. Mm.
Chris, I asked Steve earlier, are we putting as fans too much pressure on our sportsmen and women, and especially the Australian cricket team? You think every single year, and it used to be maybe only for a summer period, but now throughout the whole year, we're chatting about selection of players, who should be playing here, who should be bowling. Are we putting just too much pressure on them?
It's hard to walk it back, though, isn't it, Dave? I mean, that's the world we live in, with extra, media platforms and social media, and everyone wants to be a selector. I mean, if you want to make it to the top in professional sport, I suppose these are the things that you have to soak up and cope with. And I think certainly fans and the greater public and even elements of the media can be could be kinder. I mean, we can all be, everyone should be kinder, I think, but it's a robust scenario to be in, in the mix for an Australian team, or in an Australian team, you're in the limelight, the scrutiny's on you, and I don't see that changing. It's probably going to only intensify as the years go on.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment as well. Good on you, Chris. We appreciate that this morning. We'll speak throughout the summer.
Thanks, guys. See ya.